afternoon and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Today we're talking with some of the local independent musicians headed to Nashville later this week. They'll be attending a DIY, Do-It-Yourself Musician Conference, sponsored by CD Baby, an online music store specializing in the sale of CDs, vinyl records, and music downloads from independent musicians to consumers. This all points to one fact: the music industry is in creative disruption, as artists find new ways to reach their audiences, and technology is a big part of that too. Top that with our location, Alaska, not really next door to Nashville, New York, Los Angeles, or even Seattle. So how do musicians from Alaska get their names and their songs out into the world? One new strategy is to band together under the AKIMI banner, which stands for the Alaska Independent Musicians Initiative. Under AKIMI, about a dozen Alaska musicians will represent Alaska at the National Conference. Today, we're going to hear some of their ambitions and their strategies, and also some of their songs. On today's show, we have with us Michael Howard, a familiar name and a familiar performer. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks, Kathleen.
And he and I have talked back and forth. It's always fun to have you on. Sometimes you're on the road when I've had you on. I remember talking to you when
That's
you were
right. I've called in from all sorts
somewhere
of
out there
places.
In the lower 48. We also have Ava Earle. Are you a sophomore, Ava?
I'm a sophomore.
Sophomore,
yes.
At South High.
Yes.
And a musician. She has three albums to her name and an upcoming tour of the Pacific Northwest, I read on your website.
Yes, to be determined.
Okay, to be determined. That's fine. It's the ambition, and then at first comes the idea, then comes the execution.
Yeah.
And we have Mariko Serafin. I saw Mariko play in a backyard in Spinard during an AKIMI gathering, and I thought it would be so lucky to have you on the radio. So welcome, Mariko.
Thanks, Kathleen. Hi, everyone.
Yeah. Now, let's see. We're going to talk about AKIMI, we're going to talk about the music industry, we're going to talk about being musicians in Alaska. We probably will be hearing, I think, perhaps from some partners of AKIMI, and I'm going to look at you, Michael, and say, help us first with where did AKIMI come from, what is it, and then why are there partners?
Right. Well, there's been so much happening. I take it back to the inception point for me was in Kevin Worrell's trailer at Chicken Stock in 2016. And that was when we just sort of had our moment of like, we've all been talking about this for years as we've been building careers as Alaska musicians. And, you know, we claim to realize that we're not the only ones talking about this. But that was sort of where we laid out, like, what gives? Like, what's going on in Alaska and how can we change and develop in a way that we have not yet
figured
right.
out. Right.
So it started there, and then we ran out and started talking to people and spreading our message. And from there, we met Ingville, and turns out we're not the only ones that are digging into this stuff and trying to encourage, you know, more better futures for Alaska musicians. So we've found the Anchorage Music Co-op and Parlor in the Round. Kevin was already running, and now we're looking at other partners like all across the city, the tourism industry groups and the film festival and the museum and all these things tied together. And when we start to look at in what ways our music industry is underdeveloped. And these are all different little pieces of the puzzle of how it can work.
I have a question, and I think this is a naive question, so I give you a heads up. But is it about getting your music out there or getting people to know there's music here and come up here for the music, or a combination of both of those things?
All three parts of that, I think, are correct. And we're learning as we go, but I would say it's fair to say it's both of those. It's selling Alaska music to the globe and also promoting Alaska as a place where that music comes from and a place to have music industry events and festivals and a destination linked with our Alaskan polar sort of identity and what that can look like.
And is there a definition for AKIMI, the initiative? I mean, does it just mean we're banding together, you know, musician brothers and sisters, you know? Is that what it really is, or is there anything more definite than that?
Sure. It's a lot of that, and we, to be fair, I mean, we're in our second, third year, and we've learned so, you know, we know a lot more now than we did 12 months ago about who we are and what needs we're meeting and how we're acting and what role we're playing. And yeah, we're largely, right now, we are acting sort of as a musicians organization and as a networker and a hub and just facilitating these conversations. And then we're also just, because we're still early, we're kind of just doing things. And we're doing
Trying
stuff out, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to Nashville and we're going to Montreal. And, you know, with each project we carry out, that invites new partners and new supporters and new musicians mm-hmm. into the fold, and we're becoming more self-aware.
Yeah. 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 Well, I want to invite our audience to join in the conversation if they're interested. We welcome your questions or your comments, or if you're an Anchorage or an Alaska musician who isn't in the loop about Akimi and you have questions, perfect time to call. So in Anchorage, it's 550-8433, and statewide, it's 1-888-353-5752. And you can always email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Mm-hmm. And if you just joined us, that was Michael Howard speaking. Many people know him as an Alaska singer-songwriter, performer. He goes outside and tours, comes back. I think you're here in the summer most of the time. Am I right, Michael?
Right. I haven't been trying to let people know what I'm up to, but I do try to spend most of the summers up here.
Yeah.
And then I tend to book my tours in warmer places during the winter months.
It's just a strategy for surviving. Yeah. We also have Ava Earle, who is a sophomore at South High. Shout out to South High.
Yeah.
And we have Mariko Serafin, who works at the Anchorage Community Foundation.
The Alaska Community Foundation.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But is also a singer-songwriter. So do you guys have anything you want to add to sort of Akimi? Like, you know, maybe Mariko, I would say to you, how did you hear about it? How did you know you wanted to go to Nashville?
Well, who doesn't want to go to Nashville?
Yeah.
Honestly, if you're a musician, but
yeah. You have never been, right?
I've traveled through there, but this will be my first time bringing my music outside of Alaska. So it's been an awesome opportunity. And I met Akimi folks, Ingville, through the Lullaby Project. I've known Ingville for a long time, but we worked most recently.
Well, tell people what we're not really about the Lullaby Project today, but this is at Highland Mountain, I think.
Highland Correctional
Facility. Yep. And women, mother inmates, in conjunction with an artist, write a lullaby to their child.
That's right. Yeah. So Keys to Life, a nonprofit run by Shirley May, who most people know in the community.
Shirley May, Springer State.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's actually a project that Carnegie Hall put together, and Shirley said we should be doing this here. So about 15 of us last year, last year was the second year, but we went to Highland Correctional. We met with mothers who were incarcerated that had kids. Some had, you know, one kid. Some had five children. And we sat down and we wrote lullaby songs for their kids. Mm-hmm. And it's
now that
such
is not
a powerful
part of Akimi
experience.
Necessarily.
But
Akimi musicians participated.
Yeah, and it's really interesting too up here. The thing that I'm loving more and more as I'm learning how interconnected everything is in the music world up here. So people will play on different projects and different bands. People will help support in a lot of different ways. And so that's how I heard about Akimi. And I went to the first, I guess, it was the first big workshop or last year. Is that right, Michael?
Was it at the Alaska Music Summit?
The Music Summit, yeah, mm-hmm. the Church of Love, and that really got me interested. Mm-hmm. And then Ingville ended up inviting me to go to Nashville, and yeah, I'm so stoked to go.
Wow.
I'm really excited.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you were asked to go, did you have any feelings like, oh, am I ready? You know, or is it just like, bring it on, I'm ready?
You know, honestly, over the last couple of years, I've been just kind of putting it out there in the universe that I'm ready.
Yeah.
I think when I was Ava's age, I wasn't as brave as and
I know,
confident
I have to
as
say.
Her.
I'm impressed
and
by
I,
Ava.
Yeah, and I played and wrote songs by myself in my little room and wasn't, you know, ready to share. And over the last couple of years, I've definitely put myself out there more and met some amazing people. The music network up here is amazing. They're just so supportive. Mm-hmm. Everybody is so willing to share time, energy, even, you know, money helps support people
right, there,
to get there.
Right, there's been community fundraisers.
Yeah.
I've seen. And I want to invite Adam Baldwin on. He's called in. So welcome to Hometown Alaska, Adam.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and we were just talking about partnerships, and you are with the Anchorage Museum. Could you tell us a little bit about how Anchorage Museum got linked up with Akimi?
Well, it's a part of a large scale effort of the museum to be a more inclusive community space and also take a look at art not just as, you know, Sidney Lawrence's and Fred McIntosh's and things of that nature, but really look at the entirety of the creative community and incorporate live music and dance, film, those kind of elements that have traditionally had a little bit less of a presence in the museum.
Mm-hmm. And so is this your first year of affiliation with Akimi, the museum's affiliation with Akimi?
Well, this is our first year where we're making it a little bit more direct and really trying to help support one another. I've had the good fortune of working with many artists in the Akimi group before, but this is our first year really trying to make it more explicit and develop it as sort of a understanding of partnership so that people understand how the museum supports Akimi and how Akimi's.
Mm-hmm. And Adam, I was over at the museum for one of the Friday nights, late night Friday nights, and I came upon musicians in the elevator. It was Jim Kerr and his wife, I forget right now her name, but and it was just so funny because the elevator doors would open and there'd be all these people in there and the musicians playing, and then the door would close and they'd go up to the second floor for whatever was going on there. So is that part of this connection, having the musicians there on these first Fridays?
Well, we like to put the musicians in the elevator just as a way to enliven the space. You know, we have such a large but admittedly slow elevator, and so it's a good sort of baseline for us to just make sure that the space is alive. And we have used some of the Akimi musicians there, but we're also looking to have them play in galleries and other spaces so that people have a different kind of context for their visit. So, you know, you might have been through our new wing of our Art of the North, but, you know, when we have different musicians playing in that space.
Oh, I did not know that. Sometimes you'll have musicians there.
Yeah, or near the atrium, or, you know, there's lots of spaces in the museum that work well, but I feel like, you know, it really helps create a different context and alive in the spaces.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have an email that came in, and Adam, stay on because you might have something to say about this, and any of you might, but it's kind of a fun idea. This person, Mary, says, why not partner up with Alaska Airlines and have them play local musicians on their flights? I don't know whether that means you play live on their flights or they just have recorded your music recorded. But have you tried that already? Or what do you think of that idea? And I'm looking at Michael, but I'd also like to hear from Adam. Since he's one of those community partners, he might have a thought about it.
I want to hear what Adam has to say as well.
You're afraid to say anything.
I think that's so cool. I mean, I've been on an Iceland Air flight, and on the back of the seats, they have their Iceland Air Spotify streaming, and it says, you're listening to Icelandic Air Radio. Do you like what you're listening to?
Oh.
Check out our artists. I think we got to do the same thing. I want to hear what Adam thinks.
What do you think, Adam?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, there's the outlets for Alaskan musicians. While the internet has definitely changed that, they're still somewhat limited, and so we have to take advantage of it. I think somebody like Alaska Airlines would be a fantastic partner, potentially, to highlight Alaskan musicians and let people have more name recognition. And then, you know, when you go to, say, a city like Nashville or Seattle, and you go through their airports, they have their local music playing everywhere, not just musicians, but also the piped-in music, and it really helps create an
sense
identity
of place,
for the city. And so, you know, we've been talking about other people that are in charge of those kind of developments in other cities, like a woman named Kate Becker with the Seattle Office of Music and Film, about how they set up those partnerships and if there are similar things that we can replicate and be able to support our own local musicians.
Pretty fun. It's pretty fun to hear those ideas come in from the community. Maybe it makes you feel like people want to hear you on the Alaska Airlines, the red eye to Seattle, right? Maybe lullabies would be a good idea. Well, listen, Adam, thanks so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we say thank you? I see that we have Jamie Whiteman on the phone, so we're going to bring her on in just a minute.
Sure. All I just want to say is that starting in September, we'll be doing our open every Friday night. So whether that be a first Friday where it's free or the other Fridays where it's half price from 6 to 9, we'll have live music as almost always for those Fridays, and those run from September through April. So hopefully you'll get a chance to come on down, maybe get something to eat at our restaurant, and spend a Friday evening with the museum.
And one more question, Adam. Just are you getting feedback on having music in the museum? Are you getting a sense that people like that they linger, that they gather and listen to the music?
Oh, yeah. I think people really like to do that and you know, get exposure to different bands, even if that's not necessarily what they were there for.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think for musicians, it's an interesting experience because it's not a coffee house or a bar. And so we've asked our musicians sometimes, like, think of yourself as just a very sort of modern installation. And so some people will spend a lot of time with you, but other people will just kind of have you be part of their experience. And I think that the musicians like having that different kind of experience for them.
That's interesting. All right. Well, Adam, I'm going to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day over there at the Anchorage Museum for calling in. And I'm going to welcome Jamie Whiteman on the phone. Hi, Jamie.
Hi. How's it going?
Very well. Are you out of state?
I am.
I thought so.
Right now, so I'm calling in.
It's a couple hours different than now.
It is. It's four. Yeah,
but you're going to be. Your stomach will be growling for dinner soon. So, well, Jamie, thank you for calling in. I associate you with Tanana Rafters, and I also associate you with the Anchorage Music Co-op. So, and as a Alaska musician, I guess I've been asking, and I will be asking Ava and Mariko, and I talked a little bit about it, what it means to you to have Akimi here working to support musicians.
Yeah, it's really exciting. There's a team of people working to create professional opportunities for artists like me, and I'm really proud to be a partner and supporter and on that team sometimes. I think ways that it's benefited me already, and like Michael was saying, like, this is sort of a new organization and we're learning a lot as we go, but already, only in a couple of years, like, I've received so much encouragement, one, which I think is good, mm-hmm. And then also it just has helped me increase my network, so I know lots more musicians locally. I know musicians in Fairbanks, and and all over the state that I didn't know before and probably wouldn't have, which is really exciting. And then we can work together and cross-promote. And other professional opportunities, like shows in town. I've got to work running live sound more because of Akimi, which is exciting for me. Myself and my band, we also got to go to Folk Alliance International Conference.
Was that in Kansas City?
Yeah, it was in Kansas City for the last 3 years, and we went the last 2 years, which was really awesome. So we can, be with our people, which feels really nice on a human level, right? Like, these are musicians who are dropping lots of important things in their life and being musicians instead. And it's, sometimes people question you, but it feels really nice to be with people who really get it. And then also, we can go to workshops and panels and talk to other artists who have helped me and help other musicians learn about the industry and get experience there. And we can ask them, like, how did you record and mix and master and produce and sell and export? Like,
everybody's skill set gets sharpened by being at events like that. And Jamie,
absolutely.
did you perform in the did you perform in the Alaska Room? I read that there was an Alaska Room at the Folk Alliance Conference both years.
Yeah, both years there was, and there will be this coming year in
Montreal, right?
In Montreal. Mm-hmm. It's changing locations. We got to perform both times, and that was awesome. So we were seen and heard by promoters and producers and booking agents from all over the country and potentially all over the world, right? It's an international conference, so that's really exciting for us.
Okay. All right. And Jamie, you do work with the Anchorage, is it the Anchorage Music Co-op or the Alaska Anchorage? Can I remember which one of those A words it is? It's the and so what I saw on the web is that it's an organization run by musicians for musicians, and I think you sponsor under 21 Mike. Is that right at Middleway Cafe?
Yeah, so that's our main active program right now, is the under 21 open mic, and I got involved with that in 2014.
When you were under 21.
Yeah, when I was under 21. So I started out as a performer and then moved on to be a host and have hosted it ever since. And that program is really dear to my heart. It helped me grow up. I'm really happy to be partnered with Akimi in that project now, like as we move forward and grow. Like this year with the under 21 open mic, we're going to have two each month instead of one each month.
Mm, wow, one stepping on, up.
Yeah.
100%
one on
increase.
West side at Middleway, and then one on the east side, location I won't quite reveal, but you can look for updates on our under 21 open mic Facebook page.
Okay.
And the Anchorage Music Club website. So we're excited to keep growing, and it's awesome to be partnered with Akimi in that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say thank you, Jamie, for joining us. We're going to take a little break here, so I'll say goodbye, but appreciate you calling in from Michigan.
Yeah.
Hope to see you back in the state soon.
Yeah, definitely. Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Very soon. Okay. All right. Yep. Well, you take care. Safe journey. And we're going to take a little break. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Today we are just lucky to have Alaska musicians sitting around the studio table here, several of them with their instruments in hand, and I'm thinking in this second segment we're going to hear a little music. With me in the studio right now I have Michael Howard, who's with Akimi. He's a singer-songwriter. He's a programs manager, I read on the Akimi website.
Fancy sounds, titles, yeah.
Yeah, capital P, capital M. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk just a tiny bit more about Akimi, but we also have Mariko Serafin here. She talked with us a little bit in the first half hour. We're going to hear her sing and talk some more about where her music comes from. And we also have Ava Earl, which we're going to move over to Ava here pretty soon.
Sweet.
And hear a song and just hear a little bit like, what's it like starting out where you're at? Michael, I'm going to go back to you. Just here's one question I have. How does somebody get to go to Nashville with Akimi? Do people apply, or do they, and how does Akimi help them get there? I know there's community fundraising, but maybe each musician also maybe has to step up and put down some application or some deposit. I don't know. So tell me a little bit more about it.
Deposits. sort of what you're saying is all true. You know, we have a growing group of people who are just really active helping put our projects together. And so several of those are just at the table in the first place. And then we're always just we're in the pilot project stage. So this is our first time going to Nashville. So we, you know, largely our role is with the fundraising, putting together the sponsorship package. And then we sort of grabbed the group that was closest by. And, you know, we have a really eclectic mix of songwriters and the whole.
Yeah.
So we want to keep it diverse. Our goals are keep it diverse. We want to involve people who are at various levels of career development.
So it's not just meant to mean, okay, you're ready to break it into the big time. It's wherever you are, if you can, because I mean this conference, the DIY conference, sounds like it's workshops, networking, even scouting. Right? Are there music scouts there? Do you think?
Scouting a little bit. It's a lot of networking and workshopping, and
As Jamie said, you know, getting together with your people, you know, musicians.
Mm-hmm. And we're also, and a big part of this is I want to say thank you to the Rasmussen Foundation, which has made this whole the showcase opportunity possible. And so we've got, you know, we're going to have a whole night of Alaska's going to have a big presence down there. It's going to be very cool. So
will there be an Alaska room like there was at the
We are, lines? Yeah. So we're making it a traveling thing. So we're going to, it's also called the Alaska Room in Nashville, and all of our artists traveling down. We have several hours of music. And
does every state kind of have a room, or is it kind of unique?
At this Nashville conference, this is a really big, it's not a thing that every state has a presence at. We're doing that specifically because one of our big tenets is linking music with Alaska branding and tourism. And so it just makes total sense to just move our Alaska room from Kansas City into Nashville. And we can just open up shop there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so do you sort of put on a show in the evening? And are you in a hotel room or in a hotel conference room?
Sure. It's a big, so it's a multi-day conference. All during the day, we've got workshops and panels. Akemi is hosting a panel on creating music communities where Ingvil and I will lead a discussion with other panelists. It's interesting because there's grassroots music collectives, we call them, similar to us, that are popping up around the country. And in an industry, like you've been saying, it's evolving so rapidly. I mean, the peer-to-peer and the business-to-business and the networking that's going on is just, we're right in the middle of it. And it's just really cool to be, we're going to be up on stage, running part of the show there. So
yeah.
It'll be cool.
And I want to bring in Ava Earl, who is going to be going to the Folk Alliance in Montreal. Have you been to any conferences yet? Ava, is this going to be your first one?
No, this is going to be my first conference, so yeah. I'm pretty excited.
I bet. I think that your mom is actually, I remember when we were getting ready for the show, I heard about your mom was contributing. I guess, I don't know what that means. She helps set up the room and stuff like that. Is that right?
Right. A lot of our projects are run on volunteers, musician volunteers, community volunteers.
Parent volunteers.
Yeah. Exactly. We rely so much on that. Uh-huh. So.
Yeah, yeah. So do you know what you're going to be doing at the conference? Have you looked at... Oh, you're going to Montreal, not to Nashville.
Yeah.
So it'd be a little bit preliminary to know exactly what you're going to do. Let's talk a little bit about your career. How did you get started with songwriting and guitar?
Well, I lived in Anchorage for a while, and like 8 years, I think. Then I moved to Girdwood, and that's when I started taking guitar lessons when I was about 8 or 9.
Hmm.
And then I started writing songs about a year or two after that. So, and I think it's just kind of progressed naturally from there.
I mean, I can't imagine writing a song. So, I mean, I know everybody here does it. So, when you decide to write a song, what comes first, the words or the chords or an idea, a theme? And maybe it's different with every song.
Yeah, well, for me, I've definitely learned that, it's definitely different for every musician. But for me, generally, I like to start with an idea or like a feeling that I felt. But sometimes it just helps to like just pick up a guitar and go with it. I like to just kind of try some melodies out, like chords, and find a nice progression that fits the mood that I want to convey, and then put lyrics to it after that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know you mentioned when we were talking with Jamie that you have played at under 21.
Yeah, I think that was my first performance, actually.
And, what is it like for the first time? Okay, it's one thing to be in your bedroom on your bed with the door closed and everything is safe, and maybe your dog or your cat is in there with you, but it's very safe. And then stepping up with an audience, can you remember what that was like the first time?
I can't remember specifically the first time, but I know the feeling for sure.
Describe it.
Well, I mean, to put yourself out there, and it still happens to me, like, now, because, like, with something that I'm trying out new, like, if I'm on, like, something, yeah, just if something's different than the way I normally do it, it can get just a little, like, back to the basics. Like, you're like, oh, gosh, like, I've never done this before. Like, I'm not confident. But just knowing that the audience, everyone in Anchorage and Girdwood, is there to support you.
They're there to watch, and they're on your side. I've heard, like, in public speaking classes, that the audience wants you to make it. Even if you flub up, they're like, keep going. So, I mean, if you get that feeling, maybe it's a little less intimidating. Like, you have the feeling like you're riding on them, They want you to. So, let me think. Do you have a particular theme that you like to write about? Or, I mean, you're a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
I don't know whether your life experience to this point is what you're drawing on, or are there classic themes that you go for?
Well, I think that for sure my main focus is on people and social situations. I'm a very talkative person, definitely a people person. And so I really have no problem writing about them.
Yourself and other people.
Yeah. And just mostly, I realized a lot of the songs off of my new album are about, like, I guess coming of age and, like, growing up. And it's kind of funny, I didn't really notice that at the time for a lot of them, but I found at least three so far that are all like that.
Yeah, it's called, your new album is called Am I Me Yet?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And you do have a website.
Yes. AvaEarl.com.
Yeah. And so I've been there and visited it. I'm going to go to America just to ask you, do you remember this phase of your career? You know, there wasn't under 21 maybe, or maybe no, there was.
Not when I was Ava's age. And yeah. I definitely was not as confident. Michael and I were talking about this a little bit ago, but we actually went to the same high school.
Michael and you? Yeah,
we went to the same high school.
Which one?
So Heritage Christian School.
Okay.
It's no longer in existence.
Okay.
But we played in a sort of, I guess, worship band sort of at different times together.
Right, yeah. But we weren't in it at the same
time. No, we weren't.
We decided, yeah.
Yeah, we weren't at the same time, but...
So you got an opportunity in school.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. I had some really amazing teachers. I even remember Mrs. Mortimer in my junior high choir class. She really encouraged me. I think that's what I needed most at Ava's age, is just that encouragement. You're here to make music.
And I hear something good. I remember being a really young journalist and wanting to ask the editor, is this a good career for me? Should I keep at this? Mm-hmm. I mean, do I have what it takes? And they're we can't answer that. You have to answer that yourself. You know, there's that. There's also the idea that every musician is different. Some might be very confident. Some might be, I mean, do you still get jitters when you have to perform, Michael? Not anymore.
Not unless people are listening. If they're actually listening, I get really nervous.
But isn't that the goal?
Well, yeah. But
I guess it must be disheartening not to be listened to. I know I've certainly heard stories of that in some venues where people are too busy eating and socializing with their friends and not quite tuned into the music. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess everybody's had that experience. Have you, Ava?
Well, yes, definitely. But I remember when I was a little younger, I would sometimes be like, stop talking, I'm up here. But
excuse me.
Yeah, exactly. But more recently, I've definitely realized it's also a bit of a blessing, because if you, like, forget your lyrics or something, I have become
never happens.
A bit of a pro at ad-libbing my lyrics when I forget them.
If you can relax enough up there.
It makes no sense, but no one will notice if you keep singing. So, but if it's like a listening room, like Michael is saying, that can be a little bit nerve-wracking. I was recently at played at the Base Camp Hostel, and it was just, everyone was very close to you, all watching. It's like a house concert, basically. And it can be like a little scary to have, like, such an intimate audience.
Yes, we did a show on house concerts a couple years ago, and the musicians talked about that. It's like there's no barrier between you and the audience. They're right. They can watch every finger. They can see the sweat on your brow. You know, it's just like, yeah.
Yeah, that's when you have to start being charming, which can be depends on how you're feeling.
Turn on the charm.
Yeah.
So tell us about the song you're going to play. It's from your new album.
Yes.
Just introduce it. What's the title? How did you get there? What's it about?
Sweet. So this song was one of the last ones I wrote. It's definitely one of the newest songs on the newest record.
Most recently written?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Thank you. And this is definitely the one that I noticed. This was the one that popped out about change. It is the title track, Am I Me Yet, comes from this song. In the first line, actually, it's called Catalyst, and yeah, it's just about, I think, growing up and, like, yeah.
Okay, great.
Walking through the halls, I see the faces that I used to have, but that's not me, but it was then, but it's not now. So am I me yet? Let's say you're the catalyst that caused reactions in my brain. There's a before and an after. I saw your face. Okay. how come every time I start to understand, I slip away from my thoughts, from my mind, gone in loops, realigned. But I break things like you. But I stumble and lose people to the earth. The cold, hard ground remembers them, so I don't have to. Sometimes I fantasize about getting lost in the same way. Slam the doors, escape the gates, finally free to run away. I want you to chase me through the woods to ask if I'm okay. I'll rest assured we're both alright. We feel the same. Almost there, epiphany. I close my eyes and try to think. I get it now. I understand. My half slumber has given me a plan. But I break things like you. But I stumble and lose people to the earth. The cold, hard ground remembers them, so I don't have to. Let's say you're the catalyst that caused reactions in my brain. There's a before and an after. It's all your fault. I saw your face.
Was lovely. That was Ava Earle.
Yes,
yes. Breaking into applause here in the studio. Singing Catalyst from her new album, which is called Am I Me Yet?
Yes.
You know, first of all, I was going to say, okay, you Akimi members, give her some Akimi treatment here. What would you react to the song?
As you can't beat that.
It is, you are supportive, right. I just wondered, you know, if you have any thoughts about. You're just stunned into silence.
We're stunned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're stunned
can't
in
say
the
anything.
Yeah.
That's always the plan,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you, Ava. I've been to your website. It's very professional. beautiful photographs. You have two albums. I listen to a lot of your music. It's like you're like a pro. So how did you get there? I was thinking that, you know, the music industry. You grew up with it in its tumultuous phases. So all these things like self-promotion, you know, calling the station and saying, how do I get on the radio? How do you just think that way? I mean, or did you, have you worked on that? It's sort of the personal branding and putting yourself out there and all that.
Well, a lot of it is thanks to my parents because I'm still very young. I'm only 15 and a half. I'm still there where the half matters. So. And I started, my first album was when I was 12, so I definitely couldn't have pulled it off without a great support system at home and my friends and family. Mm-hmm. Really just awesome. Like, my mom takes a lot of my pictures and does
They're
the website.
They're great pictures. I love the black and white.
Well, those ones are actually Michelle McAfee did those ones for my for my album, which was really fun in Portland.
Yeah.
But, yeah, everyone around me and Michael, too, has been a big supporter. And it's just, like, everyone giving me, like, a stage is very important, I think, especially for young musicians or or even just musicians who are just starting out and, you know, maybe not my age, but, you know, so I think that's definitely really important, which is why things like Akimi is really, really great.
And music teachers, like you were saying, Mariko, you know, somebody who says, good for you, like, keep it up, you should play.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
You know, are you the kind of kid that practiced hours and hours and hours in your bedroom?
No, actually, practicing is one of my least favorite things to do when it comes to music.
That's not what I was imagining. Okay.
I know, no, it's not. I wish I was, but I'm really not. It's more like my mom will be like, Ava, you should practice because you're performing tomorrow. And I'll be like, okay, I'll go upstairs and write a new song.
Instead of practicing.
So, yeah, exactly.
So it's the writing that you really love.
That's my favorite, and the performing, especially of the new songs. But, It's really fun to just get to share it, and then just the whole experience. It can get, like, a lot of the time, I mean, I definitely don't, like, play as much as Michael might or you guys, like, but it's just, I know. Like,
it's playing, really the songs you love to sit down with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, definitely. That's really interesting. I noticed on your website that you got to open for, is it Maggie
Rogers.
Rogers, yeah. And I went to her website and listened to a song, and there was a story behind how you got to do that, which was a social media application. Just tell us that little bit of story.
So, yeah, it's kind of funny, actually. So I didn't even see it, but my friend's mom sent me.
Those
and she's
moms.
Like, I know. They're great. They're really helping me out here. But she sent me a thing, and she's like, hey, Ava, Maggie Rogers is having, like, a contest for to see who will open for her show in Anchorage. And just, like, I sent her an email with some of my songs, and I said, hey, I would love to open for you. And she emailed me back. I saw it at after school with all my friends, and I was like, oh, my gosh. It was pretty fun. My mom texted me, like, 20 times. She's like, Ava, look at your email right now. And I was like, ah. So that was a really great experience, and my biggest audience live. So
wow.
That was really cool.
Okay. All right. Well, we need to take a tiny little break here. We'll be right back. I'll throw out our phone numbers one more time, and we are going to hear a song from Mariko when we come back. So you're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. And if you were in your car driving around and you heard music, that's because we have Alaska musicians in the studio today. That was Ava Earle singing Catalyst from her album, Am I Me Yet? And Ava, if you are just tuning in, is a 15-and-a-half-year-old sophomore at South High with great family support and community support. And she is... got two albums out and told us where her ideas come from, and we also learned that she doesn't like to practice as much as she likes to write songs. We also have in the studio Michael Howard, who is programs manager for Akimi, a longtime Alaska musician who, if you read his bio, started out in punk, right? And you're still kind of punk. But
in my heart, you're still punk
in your heart.
Yeah.
And and then we have Mariko Serafin with us, and Mariko has, you know, like many people, a life outside of music. She is at the Alaska Community Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I read in your bio all the different things that you have done. You have done a lot of career things, you know. Yeah. But yeah. always there has been the music. From yeah. from when did you begin playing?
Gosh. Well, my mother used to tell me that I would like hum little things before I could really speak. I'd just hum music that was around, and my parents were always so supportive and loved music. There was always music in the house.
Are there other musicians in your family?
Yeah, my brother is actually, he's a music teacher. He teaches guitar. He also writes his own songs that are just beautiful.
I think I read in your bio that you said your brother, you can play the guitar because your brother patiently taught you.
He had patience when I was 16. So he taught me Sarah McLachlan's Building a Mystery, because I really wanted to play it at Heritage Christian School's big event. I didn't start playing guitar, though, until I was 16, but I've been...
Seriously,
you know, and then I took a break there where I didn't take things as seriously, but I've been singing, since before I could speak, I guess, really.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite time? I know you go to work all day, and you're newlywed. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I saw it on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
So, you know, when do you fit music into your life, when you have that kind of a new family, not a new job, but probably a pretty full-time job. So what's your favorite time to do it? Is it a weekend thing?
You know, like my father, he's a creative writer, so it kind of creativity runs in the family. I'm best at night. Mm-hmm. I'm most creative at night kind of in those later hours. Mm-hmm. That seems to.
And do you
flow.
Go someplace in your house or you just sit in the living room? And
you know, it's different when I have different things going on in my life. Sometimes I'll be able to go down and go out to Beluga Point and just bring my guitar and just
be outside.
Yeah, outside is always really inspiring.
Interesting.
'Cause, I mean, we live in Alaska. It's so beautiful here.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just finding a little closet or
a little moment
porch or where
time.
I'm
going to welcome a caller, and then we're going to come back to you. So I'd like to welcome Monica from Eagle River. Hi, Monica. You're in Hometown Alaska.
Hi, I just wanted to thank you, Kathleen. This is a great program, so sorely needed. I love to see the consolidation of our great artists in Alaska. I have 2 points. One was, is there a centralized place to find out about house concerts? I had a house concert here at my home with Emma Hill a couple years ago, and it was just a great success. And I'm always wanting to find out where other ones are taking place. Is there a Facebook page? Mm.
Okay. Let's look at our experts. There is no central. I'm getting maybe no. I know when Spinard Fest happens, there's a big push for house concerts for all those artists. But on a year round, or what do you think?
It's interesting. That's such a active part of the music industry and how musicians are performing and connecting with audiences. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Monica, for being a house concert host. But so much of that, it's built on, you know, personal relationships. And so there's a lot of ebb and flow. And I don't know of like a centralized kind of resource. I mean, that'd be cool.
That's a good idea. This is another good idea that's come in from, you know, maybe there should be some kind of a bulletin board type place where, internet type thing where those people could check that. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's an idea.
If you know people, that's probably the best the best way to get around it. You can get on some email lists and stuff.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Okay.
But you have to know the people hosting the concerts. So,
go ahead, Monica.
My other point was, I have an article coming out in Alaska Magazine, the December issue, and it's called "I Want to Live in a Music Festival Forever." I've seen that on a T-shirt somewhere, so that's the name of the article. But I was going to say, Ava, if you might want to take a look at it, because you're in it.
Oh, cool.
I really enjoyed your music, and I've seen you at several venues around the state. And your songwriting skills are so far ahead of your time that I really can't wait until you get your heart broken for the first time.
Well, thank you so much. Maybe not for that last point, but for the rest of it, thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, great. Monica, we'll have to watch for your article.
Yes.
In Alaska Magazine?
December.
December issue. Okay, and I guess you're basically talking about Alaska musicians in it?
Basically, I'm talking about going to music fests
Okay.
Around the state, and talking about who I see and what I like and that sort of thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we will watch for that. All right. Thank you so much for calling, and I appreciate it. And thanks for the compliments. I love having music on Hometown Alaska. I just it just for me makes my day. So now I want to bump back to you and hear a song from you, Marika, and tell us what you would like to play for us and what's the name of it and anything you want to tell us about it. And play the song for us.
This one's called The One. I kind of joke when I play it out and say, well, I wrote this for my future spouse because it came about a couple months before we ended up getting together. But it's just about that recognition of deep love. So, yeah, and I always end up smiling by the end of playing it. And
it makes you happy.
Yeah, and I played it at Van's Dive Bar on Friday, and a wonderful couple ended up dancing to it. So
inspired them to get up.
That's the song. Yeah.
All right.
Makes me laugh.
Yeah, I think so. The one
mm-hmm.
by Marika Serafin. All right, you can hear the round of applause. So I would like to know a little bit about where your songs come from. Obviously that one came before you met your husband. What other songs do you What themes do you tend to gravitate toward?
Thanks for that question. I always appreciate it. I end up usually writing around the three most important questions we ask ourselves
as humans.
Yeah. So, you know, where do we come from? What is the meaning of life or meaning of life for you? And then where do we go? Where do we go after we die, or where do we go after life? So
those are big questions.
Yeah. Those are really, really big questions. And because of that, there's so much that you can write about within each of those questions.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you never really answer them. I mean,
well, I think each person finds their own answer, right? Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. Would you say music has a spiritual feeling to you?
Or? Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
It is very spiritual.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I want to ask you, where do your, Michael, I'm looking at Michael. Where do your songs come from, Michael?
They come from everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always something different, you know. Sometimes it's relationships or breakups always, you know, I think that was what Monica was alluding to, is, you know, that tends to trigger a well within
you. Lots of heartfelt feelings.
Some things come out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's situations, it's current events,
yeah.
It's spiritual
things. Is your song the one that there's milk in the fridge? There's something about...
Oh, that's Mr. Stephen Bacon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Stephen Bacon, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a resilience in some songs. That's what I was thinking about. Sometimes there's a lot of resilience in songs, and so people... Mm-hmm. I listen for that because I think that's a really important quality for humans, and I think songwriters often touch on that, you know, so...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I heard you sing it. Do you ever sing it?
We sing it. It's like that's like a group song. Like
yeah.
Stephen Bacon is like famous, like out in some small town in New England somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Like people gather and sing his song every year. So we gather in Alaska at our songwriter events and sing Stephen Bacon.
I'm going to welcome one more listener on. This is Kevin calling into Hometown Alaska. Hi, Kevin.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Kevin.
Great show, folks.
Is this Kevin Worrell?
Yes.
Oh,
it is.
Hi.
Hi, Kevin.
Just another like very happy listener today.
Great.
One more time. I'm curious about the conversation around the responsibility of music presenters to participate in the development role that Akimi presents, and that if Akimi develops brands and exports music, what responsibility do venues and festivals have in investing in artists, helping them develop? I'll take the answer offline. Thanks so much, folks.
All right, Kevin, thanks for listening and thanks for calling. So what can we say about that? Venues taking some responsibility to present music? Is that...
Yeah, and if I can jump in and sort of tie that question in with... you know, our call in from Adam and, you know, Ava talking about the connecting with audiences, and that needs to be in the right venue where they're listening. But it's really, well, this is sort of a roundabout answer, but it's the discussion is we're trying to facilitate, you know, Akimi partners like Kevin and everyone that we're working with. We're taking actions like hosting events, going to conferences, but here on the ground, you know, the reason we work with a group like the museum or the film festival is
or
because
even tourist organizations,
tourism, yeah. and festivals that both locals and tourists attend is that we want to have this cultural shift where music is art, and we know that it's held up as art, and people know to expect that.
Music is art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Well, on that note, you may hear the music. that is the sound that tells us we have to close our show. So I want to thank Michael Howard, Ava Earle, and Mariko Serafin. And I want to let you know that next week I'll be back as your host with Justice Alaska on Hometown Alaska, very different topic. And we will be talking with Prosecutor James Fayette about stand your ground and self-defense law in Alaska, way far away from music. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Dave Waldron is our audio engineer. I'm Kathleen McCoy. Thanks so much for joining us today on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.